kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are in the air everywhere. Happy Saturday. Another day of podcasting. No days off. 8 days a week. This would not be the 8th day of the week. That would be on Sunday. But it is Saturday, and we're glad to have you hanging out with us on just a lazy mid-May type of day as we are chilling in the Magic Podcast box. And we thank you for subscribing and listening and telling a friend. Remember, word of mouth advertising, the most important type of advertising out there, and stepping in across the point of demarcation from the west of the 405 area, David Gascott.
With his own tone sound effect. Pathetic. Embarrassing.
I am. I'd like to officially nominate myself as an expert now in Israeli and Palestinian affairs.
Are we going third rail?
I have morphed Ben Maller over the last year and a half.
Here we go. This is you patting yourself on the back. Insufferable douche.
Go ahead.
This is why you're detestable.
I have morphed myself into an expert in Israeli and Palestinian affairs. Check. I'm also a virologist. Check. I'm also a constitutional scholar. I'm a CPA. I'm a political savant. I know all the nuance that is what is happening in our world. I mean, I have to fit in with everybody on social media these days. It is just, I mean, it's par for the course, right? I'm also in tune with social activism and injustices across the world. And I'm an expert. But
are you a woke-tivist?
Yeah.
I'm not an activist. You're a woke-tivist.
Yeah, I'm a grifter. I'm everything in there. I'm a victim.
You got to be a victim. Listen, there is big money in being a victim. Yeah. And you get a lot of clout being a victim.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a victim.
Yeah.
Saying you're a victim gets you some cachet.
Yeah.
It does.
Now,
people love victims.
Now, all jokes aside,
yes,
I am an excellent guest booker. I'm relentless with my work. I'm strong.
Yeah,
I'm noble. Boyish charm. Rugged good looks. I'm noble. Yeah.
You have twisted reasoning is what you have. That's what you suffer from. You do.
Earl was really good yesterday.
I loved Earl. Earl was great. We speak the same language, me and Earl.
Have you guys ever crossed paths at all?
No, I don't think I've ever met Earl. I mean, maybe I was at a Kings game he was at or somebody's a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
We didn't really get into that too much, but no, I loved talking to Earl. I mean, Earl, we're kind of close to the same age, and our life experiences as kids similar. And he loved Jim Healy. That's one of my inspirations to get in the radio.
Do you think
the Jim Healy radio program?
Do you think Jim would have worked today?
He would have worked up until a couple years ago. Now, you're fat shaming that guy for what he ate. Yeah, he'd play the pig sound effects when he did. And as Earl pointed out, I mean, he knew everybody. And I learned later on that Jim, a lot of his sources were the radio reporters that became my friends.
Oh,
that would be the eyes and ears in the press box, and they'd take notes on what foods were being served and what was going on in the clubhouse. And Jim, he was great because the phrasing for I'm doing an homage again to Jim Healy, who was an inspiration to me and the radio guy. If you didn't hear yesterday's podcast in L.A. back in the day. But he'd say, "Is it true?" Which is a great way of saying literally anything, and you're not saying it's true. It just could be true. Right? it's like the plausible deniability.
Yeah.
It's a weasel term. Is it true? Dateline, Sunset Strip, Tommy Lasorda. So, yeah, I remember when Lasorda was selling spaghetti sauce and like a diet program at the same time. He was selling pasta and a diet program, and Healy used to have a field day with that.
That's good.
Back then. But yeah, fond memories. Earl was wonderful. I got to go out and see Earl.
Yeah.
Do stand up. Now that stuff's opened up again, I got to get out there. I got a lot of stuff going on right now behind the scenes at the old Maller Mansion, so I won't be able to get out anytime particularly soon. But I will. I put that on my list of things to do this summer. I got to see Earl at the comedy club. I love stand-up. I used to go to that. What's that place in Burbank? There's a comedy club there I used to go to.
It's a smaller one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but my wife, we went there. The guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm, the fat guy, he used to do a gig there every Sunday night. I think he moved actually to a club in Hollywood now.
Mm.
And we used to go out there. It was fun. So.
Yeah, Jay Leno would go to the Hermosa Beach Comedy Store on Sunday
nights. He doesn't do that anymore?
I don't know if he does, but on Sunday nights he'd go there and roll out all of his content for the week.
I heard somebody told me that he's still making a killing on corporate gigs, Leno. Is that true? You think the Tonight Show has been on the air? Tonight Show has been good in years. And Kimmel's not Jimmy Kimmel. Who's the what's the guy from
Jimmy Fallon?
NBC? Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah.
But Leno, I heard he's still got a lot of gigs. Good for him if that's true that he's making cashola there.
I believe that. Speaking of which, I watched Saturday Night Live last week.
Congratulations,
because of you. And
didn't go the way I was hoping.
Yeah, no shit, it didn't go the way you were hoping. And
that's all right. I'm in the long game, not the short game. Man. I'm not in the think of the macro, not the micro. Come
boy,
on.
And
don't be obsessed with it.
I remember why I haven't watched that show in a long time. It just, short doing sketch comedy is really fucking hard, but it was painfully bad, unfortunately.
I have not watched Saturday Night Live. I think I watched the last one I watched was when they had, I think Eddie Murphy came back.
Yeah.
Remember to host it? I watched that one and I was not enthralled. I didn't think, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. I need to keep watching this. Yeah. I think it might be an age thing too. I think, but I generally the comedy, you're supposed to at least occasionally dabble in the third rail, right?
Yeah. We like dark comedy. And that was part of the reason why I brought Earl on. Like Earl gets after it, and some of the shit that went on at the roast battles upstairs in the comedy store, no way you'd have someone videotaping any of that. But dude's got after it, guys and girls. And I mean, that's what I love about comedy. Nobody's safe, right? It's like Game of Thrones. Like everyone's expected to get their head cut off one time or another. And yeah, comedy's so careful now. I feel like you have all these boxes you can and you can't check off, which is unfortunate because it ruins the authenticity of what these guys are trying to do and what they write out. And hey, everyone gets offended over something nowadays. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's tiptoeing around, right? Don't want to offend anyone, walking on eggshells and all that, which is annoying. And I agree with you on that. And I did not see the Elon Musk episode. I saw some clips online, but I did not watch the
you could tell, obviously, he's uncomfortable. He's raw, but I appreciated that. And he got better as the show went along, I thought. Like, his opening monologue was okay, but he warmed up. And I think the audience warmed up to him later on, too. I just, you have those all those reports prior to him going live with, oh, well, certain staffers are now permitted to walk away if they don't want to work on the show with Elon Musk and all that bullshit. So.
Oh, yeah. The super woke. The snowflake army.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to go back in their bunker and cuddle up and suck their thumb in their safe space. The oversensitive crybabies that are out there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But we do live in the age of the professionally offended class.
Yeah.
I am offended by what you say. How dare you? Shame on you.
But speaking of that, we will have an awesome guest next week on our Friday edition, too.
Are you sure? You don't want to jinx anything.
No, I'm good, man. I'm good for seven full innings of shutout ball, baby. I'm like Garrett Cole.
I try to go nine. You go seven, I try to go nine. I'm old school.
You tape record a lot of stuff in the eighth and ninth innings from what I hear. So,
yeah. Well, actually, the show's... I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but I have not done a live show since 2017.
That's true. Now, see, the CDC came out with a report on Thursday that said people that are vaccinated don't have to wear a mask anymore in outdoor and outdoor settings.
Oh, wow.
So does that mean, Ben Mallett, that your lazy ass will drive to work now? Does that mean you will actually get up out
of
bed?
Well, I'm not vaccinated, so I don't know. I can't. No. Have you been vaccinated?
No.
You have not?
No.
Well, why don't you get vaccinated?
Well, because I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I got a good immune system. My FICO score is at 807.
How are they going to check that, by the way? Can't you just say I'm vaccinated? And then how are they going to, like, what are they going to do? Before you come into the store there, before you go to Trader Joe's, you got to show your card?
My vaccine card, like a driver's license?
Yeah, how's that going to work?
Papers! Peppers?
No, I mean, seriously, how does that get enforced? I don't know how you would enforce that.
Do you think we have to get a tattoo now? Like, we have been vaccinated? We need to, like, that
they tried
stamp?
That in Germany already. That's a good idea there.
Listen, things are at a premium these days, Ben. Gas, lumber, food, and bullets.
Yes, yes. Key things in life. If you mix those together, you get a really good time. You got a really good time. Yeah, bring all that side by side. So on this podcast, not that, you know, we've already started, obviously, but we have How Low Can You Go and Fakery Frauds, along with a pop quiz. And we've got some other things as well. But why don't we start out with the How Low Can You Go? And I've been in the radio business a long time, Gascon. I've had some interesting things happen. I've met some fascinating people, some people I didn't like, some feeble weaklings. But something happened this week that just blew my mind. I'm not going to name this gutless puke, but somebody I know put a caller up to calling in the show, a planted caller, to try to fish for a compliment. I'm still shaking. I'm still stunned that someone would have the chutzpah to deputize, to contaminate, pollute a listener, to force them to call up and dance around for a compliment. It really bothered me. Why would someone do that, you think, Gascon? Why would someone, I'm not saying it's you, I don't know if it's you or not, I don't know, not naming the guilty party, but why do you think someone would reach out to a listener and plant them on the show? It certainly doesn't seem like the proper etiquette.
Yeah. I can only assume that you're talking about Brian Fenley, and if that's the case, I think it's for a couple reasons. One is you don't acknowledge him a lot, you undermine him at times, you take unprovoked shots at him, his integrity, his work ethic. You kind of don't treat him the best that you could. You dismiss him on numerous occasions. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we mentioned it. We live
now, how
in
do you
a
think,
different
wait, hold
world.
On a second. It's not Brian Finley, but how do you think, like, how do you think this would work? Like, do you think someone in radio?
Yeah.
Barely, but someone in radio. But how do you think this goes? Do you think they just have these listeners' numbers in their phone and they're like, hey, I'd like to get Ben to compliment me.
Well,
why don't you call up and ask him this question and phrase it this way, and then he'll have no other answer than to compliment me. Well, exhausting must that life be?
You know, the world that we live in is no longer 6 degrees of separation. It's more like 3 because of social media. And so you would agree with me that the only way that certain shows and certain platforms and certain personalities that are archaic that have moved platforms from like terrestrial radio to something else, they need a little bit of a bump. They need support. They need grassroots funding. They need grassroots marketing, and they can use anything at their disposal. And so I think you would actually agree with me that you're probably more encouraged by that person's resourcefulness and effort and longstanding wherewithal to actually go out there and have other people promote said product on
well,
your
I don't
behalf.
Know, I don't know that I would use the word promote.
Endorse?
I don't know that I would use that term. But I would just think, like, it's just not how I'm wired. You know, I'm wired. I fight my own battles. I don't deputize people to fight my battles there. But I would think, like, if you're someone that would reach out to a listener, a consumer of the Ben Maller show, and you know, someone that you might know, I would be aware of, that doesn't normally call the show and then randomly calls up, maybe hides behind the veil of social media, that wouldn't stand out like a sore thumb. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, to think that in that mindset, that, hey, this, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a listener to call up and, again, fish for a compliment. You're as close to the stuff on the toilet, the back of the toilet at a rest stop on the Jersey Turnpike is what you are with that. You are rotten eggs. You smell like farts. How about that? Not you, of course. I'm just in a general sense. Not you. I would not. This is not about you, I don't think. I would certainly hope it's not you.
Yeah.
That would be very embarrassing if it was you.
I think the most important thing and part of this entire discussion is that whoever that individual you're referring to is, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that he or she went directly to the consumer, not to like outside agencies and looking for all these handouts and looking for all these like back slaps and mailing marketing routines. It went right to the consumer because that is your direct source of consumption is the consumer. And I applaud the effort. I actually commend whoever that might be. It's noble.
It's interesting that you would,
it's important.
You would do that.
And I don't think it should be lost in the fact that, that you have people working hard behind the scenes for you. I know oftentimes it's lost on you because, as you said, you're your own man. You don't work with a producer. You don't like working with your executive producer. You don't like working with a technical director or an update anchor that rereads scripts from like 7 hours ago. You don't like doing things in a community session. You know, it's unfortunate, but you know, whether you like it or not, you don't pick the people you work with. They pick you.
Well, I mean, it's really just a, you know, moral thing. I was raised to fight my own battles.
Well, we're in a different time today. You know, I know you're 50, 60 years old.
Oh, you learned. Oh, are you admitting that you were the person I'm referring to? Did you just admit that?
No, I did not. I just said you're
the way you phrased that sounded like you're. That's an admission.
Well, no, I'm just acknowledging that you lived in a different time. That you brought it up. You brought up
I will
age.
Let the listener decide. The defense rests. I think you've just incriminated yourself right there, Gascon. I believe you have. You snotty-nosed crybaby. I believe you have just. You have just incriminated yourself, and you can hear it on. Unless you, of course, edit that out of the podcast.
No, I don't. I don't fish for compliments. There's actually a fine promo that's circulating across iHeartMedia and Fox Sports Radio with you promoting yourself and me working on the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. So I don't need any additional.
That was written for me. I didn't write that, and it was a gun to my head to read it. So
a water gun.
Well, a super soaker's a gun. You can drown from a super soaker.
Probably.
You can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so we have fakery frauds. We've got to get to that. So for a long time, my position on social media has been rather simple. I have said that social media is the matrix. Well, now I have empirical evidence, data, that is correct and that we are all being hornswoggled, bamboozled, and led astray, and that it really is a case of if you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed, you believe whatever you want to believe, right? That's what Morpheus said.
Yes.
In the Matrix. But if you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And we'll see how deep in the rabbit hole we can go. And we're all hanging out, those of us that dabble on social media, into Wonderland. That you really do not know what's real and what is fake. It's all the algorithms, the bots, and all that stuff. And I want to thank a big fan of the Fifth Hour podcast and also the Ben Maller Show, our guy Doug. You know, Doug was a highfalutin executive in the tech industry back in the day. I think he's retired now, but he lives in the Northwest. I don't give an exact location. I don't want to get him in trouble. Not that I don't think he would get in trouble for this, but he sent me this story out of the Wall Street Journal somewhat recently, and I wanted to bring it up. I actually saved it for the podcast because it, of course, is confirmation that I'm right. So there's this net neutrality battle going on, right? FCC net neutrality. There's a proposal that's out there, and the Federal Communications Commission... you know, whether or not they should roll back internet regulation, right? It's a lot of red tape and whatnot, and we don't need to get into the minutiae of that. But the reason this story is interesting, and the reason I want to talk about it with you right now, and I think it's very important, is there were, let's see, 22 million comments that were actually hold on, let me do the math on this. There's more than 22 million.
All right, so I'll do it with you. Let's pull out the calculator and let's type away.
All right, so there were a bunch of replies online about net neutrality with the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
And so the New York Attorney General's office went and looked. I think there were 22 million comments. All right, yeah, so I did have the number right. 22 million comments.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote some chicken scratch. I can't read what I wrote. So 22 million comments, all right? These are the bullet points. 22 million comments. Yeah. Out of the 22, the New York Attorney General's office went to find out, you know, what is real and what is not. What are these bots? What are the algorithms? What are the real, actual human beings? And there's ways you can detect that. So out of the 22 million comments, what percentage of these comments were not legit? What percentage of these comments were total bullshit?
I'm going to say 93% of the comments were not.
Now, it's not that high, but you're not far off. Over 80%, over 80% of all public comments filed on net neutrality to the FCC were bullshit.
They were bogus.
18 million fake comments. That's the number. 18 million fake comments. More than 80%. There were only 4 million legit. About 8.5 million of the fake comments to the FCC derived from a $4.2 million campaign paid for by someone named Broadband for America, an advocacy group.
Figures.
This is what I'm talking about. These lobbyists, I could right now, I could make a few phone calls. I could have 3 million followers.
Yeah.
I'd rather somebody buy me followers, but I'm too cheap. But there are ways you don't know what's legit and what's not. We have buddies of ours in radio. I remember this is a great story. Who overnight, they went from like 2,000 followers to like 100, it was 200,000 followers in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Because they had, opened up the bank account or they figured out a way to build these bot accounts. You can make millions of dollars. I remember that documentary I watched on HBO about, I think we talked about it on this show. It was about making someone an Instagram celebrity and how you buy these followers and whatnot, what goes into that. But that's mind-boggling. More than 80% of the comments about net neutrality were ridiculous. And the reason that's important, let me tell you why that's important. Because these dopey politicians, they're older than me, most of these politicians. They don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, it must be real. This is what the electorate wants. No, it's not. It's what advocacy groups and radicals, what they pay for. And it goes back to the matrix, right? What is real and what is not real?
Yeah, but they use this or they use those tools to amplify and gaslight their audiences because they know that they have a wing of whatever social media platform or news agency will get behind them and preach it as gospel. I mean, don't forget that we had a teenager in Nick Sandman who filed and won a massive lawsuit against CNN for what? For what they thought was him talking down an elderly man and some kind of racism. And all of a sudden he gets this huge settlement because they distorted exactly what was going on there. It's the fucking world we live in. Everything is all manipulated, photoshopped, edited, the video's down, the sound is down, whatever it is. It's all about manipulating your eyes and fucking with your feelings. That's all it is.
It's a deep fake. We're all in a deep fake right now.
Yeah. I got into a pretty vocal argument last week with a colleague here at Fox, Doug Gottlieb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He asked me during a segment, I thought it was like a throwaway segment, but he asked me if I was vaccinated and I said, no, why? And he said, well, why not? And I said, well, I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm in good health. My immune system's strong. Well, why do I need to? And he's like, well, for the greater good, like you need to be doing this and that. And I'm like, well, Doug, are you smoking? Are you drinking? Are you getting sleep? Are you relieving your stress? Are you traveling? Are you working out? Is your vitamin D levels high? Are they low? And it was just this whole thing about back and forth. And I said, hey, these vaccines are administered right now for emergency use only. They're not approved by the FDA. And he thought they were. And I said, no, they're not. We went back and forth on that. And it's like, yeah. God forbid you question anything. God forbid. I mean, the bots is a perfect example of it. Like, you find out the root, and then you find out where the money's coming from, and then you find out the influence, and someone's behind it, because obviously they want to push one agenda or another.
Well, and the other problem is how humans are wired. You want to be with the cool people, right? We all want to be with the cool people. You don't want to be having a different opinion that's out of the mainstream.
Joe Public.
So, that becomes a problem, right? You want to be popular. You want to hang out with the cool kids and all that stuff. So that becomes a problem.
You got to be careful, though. I saw an employee who wrote a book. I think it was for Apple. I don't know if you read about this. He wrote a book, I think, and it was prior to getting hired at Apple. And someone complained to the chief people officer, and they fired the guy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I just...
Well, as far as me, I haven't gotten the vaccine. I probably will get it. Just, my wife wants me to get it. My brother had it. He seems to be doing all right. So I'll... But my brother had the Pfizer one. Like, I'm not against, obviously, vaccines. I just think it's... Yeah. Now that they finally said if you have the vaccine you don't have to wear the mask and all that,
right?
How do they prove that? You know, and that sounds like just a bullshit thing you can't actually enforce. Unenforceable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's either one way or another. Like Gottlieb called me an anti-vaxxer. And I'm like, how the fuck are you getting off like this on a national show?
Oh, he name called you. Yeah. That's an ad hominem attack, right?
Exactly.
There.
And I'm like, I told my parents to get the vaccine. I have one sister who's gotten the vaccine. How the fuck are you going to get off telling me that on a national show? I was pissed.
No, but I even if I eventually get the vaccine, if you don't want to get it, I don't think you should be forced to get it. I don't know. But you are also at the same time, like if I get some illness out of this and something happens, that's on me.
Right.
And it's on you. If you don't get it, we're all grown-ups here, and you have to pay the
piper,
pay the price. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. That's a great story, though.
Isn't that great? 80%, 22 million comments, 18 million bullshit. They went into detail. And again, thanks to Doug who forwarded this. He knew this was right in my wheelhouse. This was a batting practice fastball from Doug, and I thank him. So there's a Senator Rob Portman from Ohio. 14,000 messages sent to this guy were fake, right? Total bullshit. It's wild. So you can check that out. It's a Wall Street Journal story. And they said that investigators found 9.3 million comments supporting net neutrality that used fictitious identities, most submitted by one California college student majoring in computer science.
It's good. It's good.
Do you think there's somebody in the Malware militia that we can get?
Yeah, 100%.
I want bot followers, I certainly wouldn't pay for them. But, if you can do it, boy, that'd be funny. Wouldn't it be funny if I all of a sudden woke up and there's I've been pretty solid around 50,000, give or take. I've gone up, gone down, whatever. I haven't really, I pick up a few, I lose a few. We lost a lot when we, during the 2020 Gascon because of the third rail, my man.
Oh, we did?
Some of the leftists, they got upset with me. The snowflakes got upset with me and stuff. They bailed Chip. That's what I need in the Malware militia. I need a California college student or New York or New Jersey or Massachusetts college student majoring in computer science to come up with 9.3 million bots or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane. They said this is a 19-year-old student was responsible for 7.7 million comments generated using websites that create names, he said, and physical addresses and email addresses. So there you go.
That's a great story.
And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. Remember that. Yeah. Now, I always tell my wife this. She loves reading. When we buy stuff on the internet, she'll look at the reviews on Amazon or whatever and see what people are saying or Yelp to find restaurants. And I'm always like, I don't know that that's legit or not. I am so cynical, oh ye of little faith, that I'm like, well, is that the blue pill or is that the red pill? I think that's the red pill. I think we're going further down the rabbit hole on that one.
Yeah. So,
all right. What else? Something else I wanted to mention before we get to pop quiz. There was a somewhat recent poll from, this came from the Center for American Political Studies at Harvard University and the Harris Poll. And it revealed that 64% of Americans believe that cancel culture, the boycotting, pressuring, etc., of people for their past or current verbal statements is a threat to their freedom.
Yeah.
And 87% agree that it is a problem of varied importance, but no one's doing anything about it. So I thought that was, you know, 87% thing was a problem, but, you know, everyone's kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's...
Stand on the side of the road. I mean, what are you supposed to do, though, right? I mean, how do you stop? You can't really stop it.
You can, but it comes with consequences. And there's not a lot of people that can do it with reckless abandon or have either a safety net or do it with a parachute. Like a guy like... he's come on the show, Leo Terrell. He's a Democrat. He's a liberal. But he's called out shit that he completely disagrees with. But I think in today's world, because he's older and because he's an attorney, he can get away with a lot of those things. Whereas if the individual is younger, and I also think if the individual is younger and white, no chance.
Yeah. Well, but Leo gets called out too. Like, you know, and he's talked about this.
Yeah, but he's not in danger of being canceled though.
No, but when you're a black guy and you're out there, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, like, well, come on, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean,
you can't have any other thoughts other than the group think and all. I mean,
But I mean, look at what's her name, J.K. Rowling's, right? Like, she's talked about sexual orientation and gender assignments, and God forbid you get all these fucking groups that try to cancel her. It's like, you know, fuck you.
Let's get to a little pop quiz here, and then we got to get out of here. Get the Mailbag podcast, which is my favorite podcast.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why. I
love the Mailbag podcast. Yeah. Why'd you go? Mm-hmm.
A little slobber, knob, knob.
I don't know. It's you never know what you're going to get in the Mailbag. I just open up the letters.
Voila. Yes.
There's no need for a visceral reaction from you. It's you don't know. Maybe there'll be some nice people. You know. I know you're very friendly, I hear, with some of the callers. So maybe they'll write letters.
I'm friend of a lot of callers.
Oh. So that's what I hear. All right, pop quiz, things I found around the internet I thought were interesting, and we'll ask Gascon, but we're really asking you, and here we go. According to a new survey, couples are both happier and more stable if the man in the relationship takes care of this specific household task. What is it?
Cleaning.
Well, yes, but one specific thing.
Bathroom.
No, the dishes.
Oh, okay.
And that is why that I am in a happy relationship and a stable relationship, Gascon. I am the dishwasher. And I am not just a fucking dishwasher. I'm the greatest goddamn dishwasher you could possibly have.
Because buy paper plates. Don't give me that.
No. I am an expert. I know that dishwasher is not like some cartoon from back in the day where you put everything in there and it just... covered with pasta sauce and it just washes it off. No, you have to properly wash off the dishes and you have to scrub the dishes once in the sink, and then the dishwasher is the final nuclear option where it makes everything pure again.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, when this radio thing and this podcast ends, I'm going into professional dishwashing. I want an industrial dishwasher is what I want. You're laughing, but I would be a really good dishwasher.
Wow.
Yeah. $39 billion a year is spent on this in America. $39 billion. And if you don't do it, this particular thing, spend the money on this, people get very upset.
Oh, I was going to say tires. They get very upset. Flu shots.
No. The answer is tipping.
Oh. Are you a good tipper?
I am an adequate tipper. Hmm. I don't have to be a good tipper because no one knows who I am, but I'm an adequate tipper. So what I do is I have an app on my phone. I'm the guy that pulls out the 20%.
That's fucking douche.
No, it's a great move.
That is solid so move. Douche.
I do
First
it stealth,
of all,
though.
You should do
20. I do it stealth is what I do.
Man, you're fucking lame.
No, I do. It looks like I'm sending a text message, but I'm actually putting the app on to see what the bill is.
Now I'm going to know for future reference.
Well, what is that? What do you mean?
That means if we're going out somewhere, I'm going to fucking look at you as you're doing your bullshit tipping. Why don't I just calculate 20% if the server is good and 15 or 10% if they're shitty?
Well, but then there's like, well, is it 20% before tax or after tax? Right,
I do the gross. I do the gross.
Yeah, some people say, well, let's not include the tax because that's different. It's only about the price of the meal.
Now, do you pay cash or do you card for tip?
Well, like everyone else, most of it's just credit card.
Okay,
you're just filling out the receipt, and you're signing your name, and so you have to put the dollar amount, and that's it. So, yeah. Let's see here. Page down, page down. All right. It is sad, but more than 50% of Americans say that we've not been able to do this in a year. What is it?
Hug our friends.
No, actually make a new friend.
Oh.
Yeah. No new friends. It's like fake friends on the internet, but no real life.
I've made some new friends.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah. You want to name the friends?
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of them. I started using Clubhouse, got pretty active on there, was bouncing around a bunch of the rooms and met some fine people in the film and entertainment industry. Yeah. Nobody that you know, but yeah.
Someone... Is that like a spinoff of Grindr, Clubhouse? Is that
no? It's a spinoff of like LinkedIn.
No, okay.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, we have some friends that we met in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we did. That's true. We did.
So look at you, always negative Nancy with your bullshit tipping and your bullshit connectivity. Doom and gloom from Ben Maller.
No, not doom and gloom. Yes. 50% of people say they have not made a new friend in a year.
Now, all right, how many people do you think are actually good with that, though?
Yeah, I think most people aren't that over social. So, yeah, most people are right with it. They're okay with it. 6 out of 10 adults do this every day. What is it? God love them for doing this.
Floss.
No, listen to the radio. No. To the radio. 60% of all adults.
I'm in the 40. And
according to only when you're on, nobody listens. Yeah. According to a new survey, that's the 40%.
Yes.
According to a new survey, 36% of people admit they've lied to get out of doing this type of event. What is it?
Lied out of doing this.
To get out of doing something, yeah.
Going to a wedding?
That is 100% correct.
Boom! What's up?
Yeah, look at that. Don't want to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
But then you still got to buy the gift.
No, you don't. Fuck that. There's actually a colleague here that invited me to a wedding, and I had to go take a trip to go to the wedding. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then I didn't buy a gift. Dude got divorced within a year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I was like, fucking thank God I didn't fucking waste my time and money on that dude.
I think I was at that wedding, actually.
No, you weren't.
I think I was. I was at a wedding. Someone I used to work with got married. And
who was it?
Well, I don't want to say the person, but they got divorced. They're married again now, but they got divorced, and yeah, it was a big wedding, and bought a gift and the whole thing, and I took photos, and didn't last.
Yeah, I went to Jonas's wedding. That was a lot of fun.
Did I go to that one? I don't know.
Did you?
I was at that one.
Yeah, you were at that one. What the hell are you talking about?
I was there. They had a buffet.
They did.
Like Jonas is a rebel. They had a buffet when everyone was, no buffets.
Well, it was his brother's restaurant. And
yeah, pretty good. I liked it. It was my kind of food.
Yeah, it's fucking delish.
For an 8-year-old, it was right in my palate, man. I loved it. That was great. A new survey asked mothers if they still do this or take care of anything for their adult children. 15% of mothers said they still do this for their adult children. What is it?
Laundry.
That's correct.
Boom, 2 for 2. What's up?
Look at that. My mom, may she rest in peace, but she did my laundry for a long time. I'd like drive my laundry. I was so terrible. I'd take my laundry from LA, drive it down to Orange County, do the laundry, and then head back. So, yeah.
That's good.
A record price for this item, which is found in many kitchens, is $6,100.
This in the kitchen. An oven?
No, a cookie jar.
What?
You know those weird cookie jars that are shaped like cartoon heads and stuff like that?
Oh.
Yeah.
What the? Wait, $6,100?
That is correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
That's awful.
Yeah, exactly. According to a recent survey, the number one thing we do on our smartphones is text. Yeah. What is number two?
Look at porn.
Well, for you, that is correct. But for the rest of us, it's check email, which might be the same thing because you might be getting porn in your email from what I'm hearing, I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. 1/3 of adults claim they have never done this on social media.
Looked at porn.
Yeah.
They've never DM'd someone.
No, look up an X.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone does. I think they're lying. One third are lying. How about that?
Yeah.
Everyone's curious, right? Whether you're successful, you want to look at the people that weren't successful, or if you're not successful, you're like, you're curious. Whatever happened to that person? That person's successful? That kind of thing. Some psychologists say that this is the most revealing place they can look at to learn about a person.
Like look at their person, or you mean like
to learn about a person, like what you're made of, what you're all about, who you are.
Their car.
No, your junk drawer.
Oh, interesting. Do you have a junk drawer?
I do. Well, not right now, but
is it chest?
I do.
Like, is it a chest or is it like a?
It's just a drawer in a. There's other drawers, but I have one particular drawer that's the junk drawer, and I have. That's where I keep my rubber bands.
All right.
My super glue, old keys. That's some of the things that are in the junk drawer.
Cassette tapes.
I probably have some of those in there. I have some random.
A flask.
You know what I should send out, and Earl would be impressed by this. I have a listener sent me this years ago. It's a Jim Healy ashtray. And it's got all of Jim Healy's phrases on it. It's one of my most prized possessions.
Is it?
Because it's, I believe, the only piece of Jim Healy memorabilia that was ever made.
Yeah.
The radio guy. And I hold on to this thing near and dear. It's awesome.
Is it white or is it clear with black print on it?
No, it's white, and it's got, it's, it says, hold on a second, let me turn on the light here. It says, and they said it was impossible. The world's first 1.5-hour sports commentary, Jim Healy, KMPC, and then it has all the phrases.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Thank you, Jim. Double take department, is it true? It's my job, Bruce. And it goes through all this thing. Say what? Yeah, so I love that. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, we got to get out of here, Gaskin. We got the Mailbag podcast coming up right around the corner on Sunday. Have a great Saturday. Remember, tell a friend about the podcast. If you missed Friday's podcast with Earl, the great comedian there, you can check that out. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. We'll catch you next time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.